Our first reading today presents us with the image of a tree planted next to flowing rivers, flowing waters. There it is. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. We know that a tree planted in a good place with good nourishment, good water, is a strong one. A tree that flourishes, a tree that can withstand any season. So much of the flourishing of the tree depends on where its roots are. And the scriptures present this image to us tonight because it's an image of us. If we wish to flourish, so too we must know where to plant our roots. Of course, as human beings, human flourishing is something we're very interested in. There's not a heart in the world that doesn't desire to flourish, because flourishing is deeply connected to what happiness is. And all of us desire happiness. But the question is, what does flourishing mean? What is our notion of flourishing? For most of us, most of the time, it's things derived from our culture, the way we were raised. Ideas implanted into us from a very young age, what flourishing means. Things we hear as school children. To flourish as a human being is to realize your potential. To grow up, to go to school, to get an education, to establish yourself in a career, to be successful, to make an impact in the world, to have good friendships and relationships, have a nice balanced life. Cross out a bunch of things on your bucket list. Insofar as it fits, have a nice little family, proportionate. And when the time comes, hopefully sooner than later, you can retire and live off the fat, right? And when these good things happen to us, we consider ourselves happy, flourishing, blessed. And then the Lord walks in, and as he often does, he turns that worldly wisdom exactly on its head. Blessed are you who are poor, he says, and woe to you who are rich. Blessed are you who are hungry, and woe to you who are filled. Blessed are you who are weeping, and woe to you that laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and insult you, and woe to you who are spoken well of. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but when I hear these words from the Lord, I have to ask myself if I really believe them, if it's possible for me to really believe them. How do I act? As though I believe it, or as though I'm actually planted in the wisdom of the world? After all, it's not too often when a friend of mine loses a bunch of money that I say, oh, congratulations. They laughed at 10:30 at that. You guys can laugh now. There we go. Oh, congratulations. Thank you. Delivery's a little flat in the evening. Oh, congratulations, you're closer to the Lord. Or when a friend of mine has a windfall and receives a bunch of money or gets a raise or something, I don't say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, Jesus says it'll be harder for you get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's probably good that I don't say those things because people would just think I'm a heartless jerk. But really, we should think, do we really believe this? Do we believe that our Lord's teaching is true? Because he intends to confront us, there's no doubt about it, with something very radical today. Radical, that's a word that has a bad name. It's associated with people who blow themselves up, or Knights of Columbus, or such people. But the root word of that, means root from the root. Jesus wants to change us from the root, to transplant our roots from one source of nourishment, one source of idea of flourishing to another. He doesn't want to simply fit into our balance. Rather, we must change our lives to fit into him. Is it possible to believe this? All I can say is that I know people who believe it, at least, even if I'm not always sure I believe it. I've met people like the Sisters of Mother Teresa's Order, the Missionaries of Charity, who have left all riches behind, all possibility of fulfilling their potential, all the comforts, all notion of fulfilling a bucket list, all that they've left behind in order to be poor, with the poorest of the poor, and so to be the light of Christ there. And while this looks like misery to the standards of the world, nevertheless, what's uncanny about these women is that they're filled with a joy that the world does not know. I think two of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal in New York recently watched, I've met some of them, and I've also watched a recent documentary on their work, which is very powerful. These men similarly leave all comforts of the world behind, all hope of riches or success, and choose to live in some of the worst places in the world, places that people call hell on earth. And they go there to be the presence of Christ there. And they're filled with joy, a joy that the world does not know. And the secret to these people, when I encounter them, I have to ask that uncomfortable question, am I really a Christian? Do I really believe this? Their secret, I suspect, is that they know that Jesus didn't just say these words on the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't just insist on their truth. He embodied them. He lived them. He showed their truth because he himself became the poorest man in the history of the world. He himself became the one who wept with greater sorrow than anyone else in the history of the world. He became the one most hungry, the one most hated and insulted when he went to his cross and chose that place as the place where he revealed the infinite depths of his unfathomable love for us. That's the secret that such people like those nuns and those brothers know, that enables them indeed to embrace the truth in their lives, that yes, they are blessed when they are hungry, they are blessed when they weep, they are blessed in their poverty, they are blessed when they are insulted, because in their moment, those moments, they're close to Jesus. They're close to Christ, and they're able to receive in a way that could not have been guessed that an infinite gift of his love. And in that love, know a joy and a happiness that, again, the world could never have guessed imaginable or possible. And yet, when they experience it, they know this is what they are made for. Jesus wants to give each one of us that experience of his love, the experience of knowing that we can be united with him in a unity more powerful even than death, a unity that leads to the joy of Easter Sunday. But we can only experience that to the degree that we're willing to be uprooted from the wisdom of the world, which gives us its own notion of human flourishing, and to be planted in his wisdom, a hidden wisdom, a different wisdom, the wisdom of his cross, which he reveals as the tree of life. In the next few weeks, we're going to have a homily series as we continue walking through the Sermon on the Plain, which we heard the beginning of tonight, to unfold just different aspects of what it means to be planted, truly planted, rooted in Christ, so that he can teach us his wisdom and we can know his love in a deeper and more profound way. But tonight, we can begin simply by praying, asking the Lord, begging him, because he knows where our hearts are, he knows how inconsistent we are, how much we don't want to let go of the good things of the world. Just asking him to uproot us and to plant us in him. as we come forward to communion tonight, to ask him to plant himself in our hearts and to plant us in him so that we may flourish with the wisdom of his love.